The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All it accounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Arnie's here. How you doing, handsome? What's going on, big boy?
Oh my gosh, look at me in the mirror. What a stud.
You are just chiseled. Unbelievable.
Wow, a bronze god.
Either I'm getting more wax in my ears, or my headphones aren't turned up very high. Brady, is there something wrong with my headphones?
No, there's nothing wrong with your headphones.
That's wax, my friend.
No,
that's
no.
Wax buildup, just like floors.
No, no, it can't be that, because usually it's cranked, and then I'm like, oh, it's too loud, yeah. Stuff like that.
Put some Lemon Pledge in there. That'll fix your wax
buildup. No, WD-40. We already agreed WD-40 is
like
the best.
Like the Tin Man.
Yes, WD-40 for many uses. You could put it on. I saw a Facebook video of this lady making fish and chicken and putting gasoline oil as a baster.
What?
Covering it with like gasoline oil.
Doesn't that cause problems?
I don't know. She seemed that it adds to the flavor.
What
I saw it on
gasoline
Facebook.
Oil. Well, is gasoline, it gas or oil?
Well, I don't know what she was spraying it from a can.
not,
I'm like, oh my
matters.
Goodness, it can't be very good for you. I'm thinking that, but I. I saw that. What's going on, Brady? How you doing?
I am stressed. Today is a stressful day.
Why?
Been a lot of meetings, a lot of administrative stuff to take care of, but I'm happy it's showtime, and I'm also happy because it's Thursday, and that means it's Jersey Shore Day.
Oh, well, can I just say, because Brady said we had meetings, boy, did you guys get yelled at like I'd never heard.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're lucky to be in.
Wow. Yeah. Boy, you guys are doing a lousy job. Yeah. Thank goodness I'm the only one carrying the show here. Yeah. So I just want to go ahead and say that.
I was expecting the pink slip at any moment.
Yeah, well, you know, I love having meetings.
Are you like Michael Bennett reading in the team meetings?
I had my headphones in. I was listening to some music, so I really didn't understand what was being said
anyway.
You
didn't hear a word that was said at that meeting.
I was watching TV, listening to some music.
You were drifting.
Eating some pretzels and drifting in and
out
of consciousness.
How about our lunch today? I had goldfish, and he had pretzels.
Yeah, that was our radio lunch.
That's radio nutrition.
And my wife just came in to yell at me for having a ginger ale. How much sugar are you putting in your body, Arnold?
Yeah, she did. She walked in and called you Arnold a couple minutes ago.
Because, you know, when I get home, I'm not going to be allowed to eat anything now. No. I'm going to be that's my diet.
How often, say, a week do you get called Arnold by your wife?
Only when I do something wrong.
Of course. That's why I ask.
Once a day.
Once a day. That's
once
not
a day.
Bad.
Yeah.
That's a good ratio for a married couple.
You would think that it would be more than once a day, but I don't see her all day. So maybe that's why it's only once a day.
Arnold.
Yeah, exactly. One of the worst names to grow up with in high school.
Now, were you Arnold? Because I was Richie.
Arnold. Richie?
Yes.
Believe me, there's about 10 million other names I'd rather have gone by than Arnold in high school.
What was Arnold? He was a famous cartoon character.
Yes, Hey Arnold.
No, but that wasn't big when I was around.
Yeah, that wasn't big. That wasn't big back in the 1850s.
Yeah, in the 1850s, it wasn't big. The only two people with Arnold, well, there was Benedict Arnold.
Yes.
So there was that. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, who you look like.
Yes, of course. And there was one other one.
Arnold Auerbach.
Well, no, that doesn't count. That was it. But there was
it could have been Gumby if you were looking for a
cartoon
character your era.
George the Animal Steel.
What? There's no doubt I didn't get dates because of my first name. I could have.
You sure?
I could have. If my name was like Robert, I would have been a ladies' man.
You sure it wasn't your looks, personality?
Oh no, I was a good looking guy, great personality, had the ladies laughing.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, if my name was Brady, Rich, anything, Knucklehead, moron, I would have gotten more girls than Arnold. I'm telling you that
to
right
think
now.
Of other Arnolds. It's not a real
common
name.
No, it's
not
a common name. Nobody names their kid Arnold anymore.
Did they call you Benedict as a kid?
No, they didn't even know who the hell Benedict Arnold was. Please, I hung around with idiots. So they wouldn't even know who that was. No, I doubt, and my dad's name was Cy Seymour.
Cy.
I mean,
that's such a Bronx name.
I dare
Cy Spaniard.
No, it was Cy Spaniard. It was Seymour, but Cy for short.
Yeah, Cy Spaniard.
Cy Spaniard.
Cy Spaniard.
Yeah.
It sounds like he owned like a hardware store at the end of the block.
Yes.
I'll give you the quickest story because this story is so long, but I'll give you the quickest story. My dad was drafted in the Army, right? When they draft you in the Army, they call you by your last name. You stand up, you salute, and you say your first name. They say Spaniard. Two guys get up, go down. My dad salutes and says Seymour. Other guy salutes, says Seymour. So you got two Seymour Spaniards, right? I'll make it quick. My dad was supposed to go on leave to see his girlfriend. the leave went to the other Seymour Spanier. He went to go see the girl to make it even shorter. He marries the girl, my dad's girlfriend. My dad's walking around in the Bronx, New York after the war. Sees Spanier veterinarian. Walks in there. Who do you think is there? The same Seymour Spanier. His wife had died. He married the girl, my dad's girlfriend. His wife had died. He was a medic, and from being a medic, he became a veterinarian.
So your dad's girlfriend
married the other Seymour Spanier.
Was expecting her own Seymour Spanier.
Yeah, and got the other Seymour Spanier.
And then she just ditched your dad
ditched
for that
my
guy?
My dad, yeah, and they were both medics. It's crazy, isn't it?
That doesn't sound like the kind of girl that I'd want to marry if she's willing to just leave me no questions asked about. Where's my Seymour Spanier?
You're talking about the 1910s. I don't know. Everything was good to go then, you know?
For all I know, Seymour Spanier did something to your dad and assumed his identity.
Could be. I don't even know who the hell it is.
This is
now.
Jersey Shore before Jersey
yep,
Shore.
Yeah, exactly. Jersey Shore before Jersey Shore.
I can't believe you poo-pooed Jersey Shore.
All right, no, again, because I've met the Stitch or the Snitch. What's
the
his
Stitch?
Name?
Stitch?
Yeah, what's his name?
Situation.
Yeah, I met him, but I don't know really. I know Snooki. Is that her name?
Yeah, Snooki.
And that's pretty, but she's kind of grotesque. Isn't she like she orange is. Or something?
They're all a little grotesque in their own way.
What's going on with them? Tell me what's going on with them.
They've started up again. It's been like 5 years since Jersey Shore ended, and now we're doing it all again. Jersey Shore Family Vacation. We're on episode 3, and look, I hate reality TV.
Right.
I really don't like it at all, but this is the one that I just kind of throw caution to the wind.
You like this one.
Oh, I've been in on Jersey Shore for a while. You know, it's a funny story. Matt Verderam, who we have on during the football season from fansided.com, he went to college at Oswego with me.
Right.
So we've known each other for a long time. I don't know if we've really said that much on the air, but...
Well, I knew that, but...
So he would, after he graduated, because he's a little older than me, he would show up just randomly at our dorm and say, it's Jersey Thursday, and he'd be there every Thursday to watch Jersey Shore with us. So we will... Jersey Shore tonight. Yeah, Snooki, J-Wow, Paulie D,
now,
Vinny,
but, I mean, aren't they like in their 40s now or something like that?
Yeah, they're a little droopier and a little more wrinkly.
Snooki's married, right?
Yeah, Paulie, they're all, actually all the women are married. Paulie D is like 40. Situation's like mid-30s. Vinny's still like 28.
Are they still popular? I mean, there's been so many shows since then, though, you know?
Oh,
Big Brothers and all that.
Oh, who cares about any of them? Real World, I don't care about any of that stuff. But it's Jersey Thursday. I'll be fist pumping all night.
Part is your Mariners are playing an afternoon game, so you won't miss them. Yeah.
I won't miss the Mariners probably lose again to Houston, and then I can make myself feel better over that loss with a Jersey Thursday. It's going to be great.
By the way, I stand corrected. People are texting in on the Tom Fair Tire text line. We got Arnold Horshack.
Oh, that's right. Welcome back, Cotter.
Oh, yes.
And shame on you, Rich, for not knowing the other one.
Okay, hang on. I said Arnold Horshack.
Did you say the wrestler? The missing link? Do you know what his real name is?
What's his real name?
Arnold Fitting?
Sure.
Is that?
No, he's saying, I think the wrestler, the missing link's real name was Arnold. Isn't that fitting?
Oh, okay. I'm such a moron. I thought that was his name, Arnold Fitting. No. All right, so his name was Arnold. Isn't that fitting? Okay, I get it now.
You are the missing link.
Yeah, so I guess his name was Arnold also. Can you imagine, if anybody had a baby, name their kid Arnold or Seymour, please let us know. You'll get a free T-shirt. I'll give you a free T-shirt if you name your kid Arnold or Seymour, or even Rich or Brady. I'll do that also.
Speaking of wrestlers, I was bummed to see Bruno Sammartino died yesterday.
I
remember him?
I don't remember. I saw the story, though.
He was back when I actually cared about wrestling. He was the big guy.
Who are these people that every Monday Night Raw happens, and my Twitter feed is just blown up with people that care about wrestling? I had no idea that this many people cared about wrestling.
It's crazy. I think wrestling was bigger in my generation than it is now, or am I wrong? They get full stadiums now, though.
Right. No, it's bigger now, but it's just marketed to death. It's just this huge, it's a circus now. It used to be actual guys just throwing each other all over the place.
By the way, Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer, you two knuckleheads. What's wrong with you?
You two knuckleheads.
You two knuckleheads couldn't get Arnold Palmer? Jeez, shame on you.
That's right.
Arnie, come on now.
Arnie's by the way, you're on the show, too.
Arnie's Army. So there you go. Well, I was just testing you guys. Brady, what's coming up on the show today? Because we do have a lot to get to, and we got breaking news.
The NFL schedule gets released tonight, but we've already got it. They've leaked out. The Giants schedule will give you at 4:20. The Patriots schedule will give you at 5 o'clock, or 5:20, rather. We'll also talk about J.D. Martinez and Mookie Betts and the kind of awesome twosome that they have become in the Sox lineup. We'll get you ready for the Bruins as well.
Yeah. So are we going to hear from the NFL lawyers if we break this?
You can go to the NFL beat writers. Art Stapleton of the NewJersey.com, he broke the Giants. Jeff Howe, who covers the Patriots, he released the Patriots schedule.
Okay.
All right, I don't know if I could give this information out, so put your hand on the dumb button in case I can't do that. I know we're going to do the Giants schedule at 4:20 and the Patriots schedule at 5:20. I've already done it. Giants go 10-6, Patriots 9-7. We'll get to that, though. It's a done deal. Am I allowed to say that? That's a done deal.
That is hilarious.
You can take that to the bank, my friend. Yeah. Take it to the bank, yeah. Brady.
This is from the guy who said the Dolphins would what? Win the Super Bowl last year?
I already know which games they're going to win, which ones are going to lose, and by what score.
Okay.
All right, and by what score.
Well,
Brady,
you'd be a hit in Vegas.
By the way, it's snowing outside. Brady, let's get right at it. What's going on?
The Red Sox, before we get to football, Red Sox continue that best start in franchise history. They are 15-2. They demolished the Angels two nights in a row. How excited are you about this team? We keep saying it's early. It's early. Things are going to normalize. But how excited are fans right now about the Red Sox start?
I think they're really pumped up, obviously, when you go 15-2. The only thing I throw caution on is that, and I said this at the beginning of the year, which when we were talking about records, and I brought up Hack Wilson's RBI records, and I said, hey, it could be broken because there's a lot of crappy teams out there.
Not that one.
Have you seen the starts by a lot of teams? You know, I'll bring it up. Red Sox, 15-2. Blue Jays, 12-5, I believe.
Right on their tail.
Angels, 13-5, even the Astros 12-7, my Mets 13-4, Pirates 12-6, Arizona 12-5. Is that a little unheard of that so many teams are off to like really, really good, or is that kind of normal? Because I think there's so many crappy teams out there. That's why I'm wondering, is 15-2 as great as we make them out to be, considering how bad that schedule was?
I've noticed this year what's happened is a lot of teams are playing specific other teams a lot in the first 2 weeks of the season. So you're seeing the Cincinnati. Not only are you seeing teams with very, very good records like the ones you mentioned, but there's the Cincinnati's who fired their manager earlier today at 3-15. You see a lot of 4-13. And that's because those teams are beating up, sort of like Boston over Tampa in the early going.
Well, it's what Buster said, that with teams that are tanking and teams that have loaded up to capitalize on the teams that are tanking, you're going to get a lot more haves and have not extremes this year, and that's what we're seeing in the early going. I'd be very excited about the Red Sox, and I understand you could throw the qualifier out. Yeah, they played Tampa a bunch of times. Yeah, they played the Marlins, and the schedule we said was going to play into their advantage, and they have taken full advantage of it. That's what they should have done. But when they go out and do what they've done to the Angels, who are the best player in baseball, the biggest phenom in baseball, the longest tenured manager in baseball, and home field advantage, and they've beaten them a combined 19-1 in the first two games of the series. That is impressive. And I continue to be impressed by the offensive approach. And I've spewed all the facts out about how hitting in fastball counts is better for you. I've done that repeatedly on Champlain Valley Game Night. I found this one, a new stat that I find telling. I mean, last year, the Red Sox swung at just 62% of pitches in the strike zone. So they took the most strikes of anybody in baseball. They worked the count a lot. This year, they're swinging at 71% of pitches in the strike zone, the most in baseball. So Alex Cora has completely come in and said, when the pitch is in the zone, you better be attacking, and they are doing
it. What happened to the philosophy, you can't swing until the first strike comes? I mean, if it's ball one, ball two, ball three, they're like, you got to throw a strike before you swing. There got to be a one strike before you take a swing at this thing. No?
What happened is that back in the day, and even back in the day, we're saying even 10, 15 years ago, the starters were the dominant pitchers, and you were happy to get to the reliever. You were let's work the count, let's get the starter out of the game, and let's take our chance with some mid-level reliever.
Right.
Now, the relievers are dominant. Every reliever you see is 95 or above. And now, getting to the bullpen is no longer something that you want to do. You got to get to the starter early swing when they throw pitches in the zone, get them for three or four early, and hope that you have a lead by the time the bullpen comes in.
And they sure haven't needed their bullpen lately. I mean, Porcello, you talk about pitching with a lead right out of the get-go. They get a run in the first inning. They could have scored about four in that first inning. They left a couple of guys on. But then they get to the third, boom, they load the bases. Devers hits one out, and just like that, it's 6-0. So Porcello has a mindset where he's, and this can be dangerous sometimes when you get a huge lead. It's hard to focus sometimes from what I hear, but you know, he gets the mindset that just throw strikes. And if there's anyone who's going to do that, it's Porcello. He's now walked one batter in four starts. He's 4-0. He didn't give up a run or a walk last night, and he could just relax.
The pitching. I didn't think that the Red Sox pitching was going to be like this. I had big concerns, especially if, could you imagine if I was right and Porcello didn't return, Price wasn't what he was, 2 years ago? Three years ago.
He was okay
every year, two years ago.
Basically, every year
until he came to Boston.
I mean, if Price didn't return, if Porcello didn't return, geez, I'd hate to think with it, but obviously they did. They came back.
Yeah, and now Erod goes out tonight. Watch what happens. He'll probably throw a five-hitter over six innings. The bullpen will take care of things. I mean, that's the mindset you start getting. And, I mean, you look up and down this lineup. I mean, Betts is hitting almost 400. Hanley, we've talked about. Benintendi still hasn't hit a home run, but he's starting to hit, too. J.D. Martinez goes 4-for-5. He's up over 300. I mean, it's a relentless lineup. In the bottom of the lineup, Bradley had 3 or 4 hits. Devers with a grand slam last night. There's just no let-up, and they start getting guys on base, and you know you're cooked.
The thing we've said about the Yankees, where almost everything that can go wrong has, I do feel like everything that could go right for the Red Sox has gone right. For them, except for the start against the Yankees, David Price has been healthy and effective. The offense has hit their true potential. Mookie Betts is playing at a phenomenal rate. Hanley Ramirez not only has come back, he has exceeded people's expectations. Devers has not had a sophomore slump early in the season, something of which that we feared. They've played great defense to this point, far better than they did last year. Alex Cora has been better than we expected he could be. They are playing at the extreme high end right now of their capabilities. I don't think they're going to go win 15 out of every 17 games they play. But you know what's good? Is that when this thing normalizes, they're going to still be over 500 as a result of it. And they've already got a good lead on the Yankees and on Toronto. So you just build it up now, and then when it normalizes it, you're not going to be too far removed from success.
Well, that's the thing. You can say all you want about it's early, but they're making, as you say, they're upping their percentages is what they're doing so that they can withstand. I mean, when you're this, when you're 15-2, you're forcing the rest of the division, especially the Yankees right now at the 500 mark, to play their minds out. And eventually, at some point, they're going to have to make their move.
I wouldn't be too worried. The other teams are probably thinking that the Red Sox are going to fall back to earth a little bit.
And they will. Yeah. They absolutely will. And the thing is people are going to get excited about them, I think, once it stops being 30 and raining and snowing every day, and they come back from the West Coast. When you start getting into the middle of May and it's 75 and Fenway's packed, and the Bruins and Celtics are out of the picture, hopefully they won't be by then, but you would assume they will be. I think that's when things really get crazy, if they can keep this kind of a roll.
They're the seventh team in the live ball era, which is like since 1920 and on, to start 15-2. So this is not many teams doing what they are doing right now.
Really could have been 16-1 if they didn't jump that first.
and real quick, because we do have to go to break, but I brought this up on Champlain Valley Game Night, and I'm going to ask you guys this, especially you, Rich. Because of the success that Alex Cora has, because of the success that J.D. Martinez has had, and because of how good Chris Sale has been, are we starting to flip our perception of Dave Dombrowski and the job that he's done in Boston?
What's interesting, because I heard you talking about that. Was it last night?
Last night.
You were at the UPS. I was listening as you were standing there by yourself, having everyone watching you talk to yourself. Yes and no. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'm just listening to you as I'm driving home, and I'm thinking he's really going for it right now because there's nothing down on the farm right now. And the only thing is that's on the farm is suspended for 80 games. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely taking a chance here. It's now or never. And when I say now or never, I mean the next 2 or 3 years because there's going to be some big, fat contract extensions coming up soon.
All right, Anthony in Essex and Tim in South Hero, both with the same one, said, the most famous Arnold? How about Arnold Ziffel, the pig on Green Acres? More of a resemblance there, huh?
So, wow.
Look at that, for crying out loud. Yeah, I forgot about that, Arnold Ziffel. That was my nickname, Ziffel. I didn't like that at all there. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
We've got the New York Giants schedule for 2018. What do we make of it?
All right, that's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Boy, the week is just flying by. Unbelievable.
Thursday? Really?
You had to think about that for a second.
Wow.
Yeah, because I was like, we were playing basketball. I couldn't remember when we were playing basketball. Was it yesterday, Wednesday? Oh, my goodness. The week is flying on by, but I love when the NFL schedule comes out. That way we know who's playing who at what week. Brady, the schedule's out. We start with the Giants. Do you want to just go through the list, and then we'll kind of comment on that or what?
Yeah, week one, Giants open up home against Jacksonville. Oh. Week two at Dallas. That game's on Sunday Night Football. Week three at Houston. Week four, home against New Orleans. Week five at Carolina. Week six, home versus Philly. That game's on Thursday. Week seven at Atlanta. That's on Monday. Week eight, home against Washington. Week nine, bye. Week 10 at San Francisco on Monday. Week 11, home versus Tampa. Week 12 at Philly. Week 13, home against Chicago. Week 14 at Washington. Week 15, home against Tennessee. Week 16 at Indy. Week 17, home against Dallas.
Okay. Well, first thing that stands out is I see all these Sunday night, Thursday night, Monday night games. Yes. They got four. Yep. But actually, they got three in the first 7 weeks. So yep. I don't know if that's going to be tiresome. But if you're going to get games like that, you want to play them early instead of playing them late. At least I think so.
The only thing I think about that, and I think this is good for the Giants, is right now I think most Giant fans would presume that a game against Philly is a loss. I think most people that are Giant fans would think that. Philly's a defending champion. They're far longer ahead than the Giants. So fine, you play them on Thursday. Everybody complains about the short week. So now you play them on the short week.
Right.
Maybe you get Philly sleeping in that short week. And if you lose, well, then fine. You were expecting to lose. But then you get a bunch extra days to prepare for Atlanta on Monday. So you're getting not only a week and a half, but you're getting an extra day to prepare for Atlanta. I think that's a win for Giant fans.
The thing I notice about this is it looks like the first half of the schedule is tougher than the second half. I look at those last five games, home against the Bears, Titans, and Cowboys, and on the road at Washington and Indy, as all winnable. I think if they can figure out a way to get to the halfway mark at, say, 3-5, 4-4, they could be in pretty good shape because there's a lot of easier games towards the end.
By the way, I want you to get in the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Tell us how many games you think the Giants are going to win this year. I agreed with Rich. Matter of fact, as soon as the schedule came out and you brought it in, Brady, I just go, instinct. I put WL, I go to the thing. After the first 11 games, I had them at 5-6, and I'm saying to myself, wow, it's not going to be a good year. And then I hit week 13, and I gave him a win for the Bears, at Washington, the Titans, at Indy, and then beating the Cowboys at home. Next thing I know, they're going to finish up at 10-6. I'm like, that's not too bad. I go, did I get that right? Are they going to really be 10-6? Because I had them miserable after the first 11 games, and then five in a row, 10-6, and going to the playoffs.
So you have them winning five of their first 11? You said, who on that list are they going to beat?
I haven't beaten the Jaguars because they're playing at home and it is the first game, but I know that's going to be tough.
Beating the Jags?
Yeah, well, they're not going to lose every game. I have them losing on the road to the Cowboys and the Texans. Again, winning at home against the Saints, losing on the road to the Panthers, beating the Eagles once, because I think they could beat the Eagles once, losing to the Falcons, and then beating the Redskins. And at that point, they're struggling. I have them losing to the 49ers, beating the Buccaneers, and then losing to the Eagles. At that point, they're 5-6. And then, boom, five in a row, Brady, to go ahead and go to finish up at 10-6.
I think it's noteworthy that it's the first time in 4 years now the Giants aren't going to open up on the road at Dallas. Now, they've played Dallas on the road in week two, but they've opened up week one at Dallas the last 3 years. And I think that is interesting and noteworthy. I think Jacksonville is a major case for regression this year. I really do. However, I don't think that they're going to lose to the Giants. I think that's bad to see them that early in the season. I think Jacksonville regresses for a number of reasons. One, I think the AFC South gets better this year. Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, and Tennessee already beat the Jags twice. I think Tennessee gets better. If Andrew Luck is healthy, I presume the Colts aren't the dumpster fire they were. Mm. That makes them better. Deshaun Watson being healthy in Houston makes them better and takes away two wins for Jacksonville that at least I thought were guaranteed last year.
Yeah, if you're going to give wins to somebody in the division, you got to take away from somebody else. That's the way that is.
So I'm taking away wins from Jacksonville. And Jacksonville last year cleaned up in playing a last-place schedule. This year they will play a first-place schedule. So that's why they're going to see New England. But the Giants finished in last place last year, so I think the Jags get a gift in week one.
And as you said, that division was hideous. Absolutely hideous. So, matter of fact, I think they're the only team to have a plus ratio in that whole division. That's how bad it was.
I just keep thinking of that AFC Championship game and how they just absolutely beat the hell out of the Patriots, despite not winning that game. I mean, they really. I became a Jags fan that day. And they're so young, and I don't know. I understand your points about the division, and I think having to face a healthy Andrew Luck is going to make a difference. But Jags open with the Giants and then the Patriots, so it's going to be an interesting early season for them.
Matt in Jeffersonville says, Giants go 8-8, hire Jeff Fisher, then go 8-8 for the next 5 years. I do like that. Gaben Winooski said, he said also 8-8, maybe 9-7. And Sean in South Burlington said, what about five-star general Hap Arnold? Am I reading that one right?
Hap Arnold?
I don't know. Commander of the Army, Air Force in World War II. So another Arnold we forgot to do.
And not to mention Arnold Jackson, played by the late Gary Coleman. Remember?
That's right. I totally forgot about that.
What are you talking about?
Joe says, what are your thoughts about... Oh, I don't want to get into that one.
No, you can get into that.
What are your thoughts about the lack of conversation around Davis Webb? Is that good for him?
And tipping the hat towards not going QB at number two.
I don't think the Giants are going quarterback at number two now. And we're going to get to that in an hour or two also. But right. Dave Gettleman spoke today. He had a kind of his pre-draft press conference. And he said that if you take the wrong quarterback, it sets your franchise back 5 years. So basically, you've got to be 1,000,000,000% sure that that quarterback is your guy. And it doesn't sound like he thinks that there is somebody he is 1,000,000,000% sure about at that number two pick. I don't want to see him take Saquon Barkley. I think you can get a running back later in the draft. The rookie of the year
That's
was
true.
A running back in the third round. The guy who won the rushing title was a third round pick. You could get a running back later. I'd rather see him trade out. If they're not going to take a quarterback, then I'd rather see him trade out of it.
If the rumor is they're not going to take a quarterback, does that mean it's true so they can have teams trade up? I can't. Yeah. I've sent you so many rumors today, I don't even know what I sent you anymore. I mean, it's like every other day I could give you a story about how the Giants are selecting 32 different people in the first round. It's disgusting. If the Giants aren't going to take a quarterback, and I've been saying this all along and I'm going to stay consistent on that, I still say Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen are going to be 1 and 2. If the Giants don't want a quarterback, they will be offered a king's ransom for that number two pick because there's a lot of other teams that would love quarterbacks. I can't see the Giants staying at number two if they don't want a quarterback.
Yeah,
I find it impossible.
I totally agree with you. I totally and completely agree with you there. This Giants team has a lot of different holes from the offensive line to defensive back. We don't know what happens with Eli Apple to linebacker to another quarterback. They have a lot of needs to running back, and I just think more picks at that. If it's not the quarterback of the future, more picks the better.
Let me read a text that came in from one of my producers. Hey, Arnie, I'm glad that Brandon Marshall pickup worked out so well for your Giants. That just coming in, Brandon Marshall cut. But is that a bad thing or is that a great thing?
We're going to get to that in big deal, little deal, no deal.
Oh, well, I saw the thing and I'm thinking, well, Dez.
Dez.
Dez. Yeah. That's what I said. But getting back to what the Giants are going to do, it certainly is a good schedule, though. If you have tickets for the Giants, you're certainly going to see a lot of great games out there. I don't know. Brady, is there a limit on how many Thursday, Sunday night, Monday night games you could be in? Because I get the feeling the last 5 weeks they didn't schedule any except for Monday night because it's on a flex schedule. Or do they schedule it and then they change it?
They,
I don't know.
The Monday night games
is scheduled. Right. Sunday night, do they stop it and then they tell you who they're going to pick or do they actually give you a team and then change it?
I think
I don't
know. Give you a team and then change
Okay, because I'm not sure about that.
Does it matter that a 3-13 team is scheduled four times for national TV, Thursday, Sunday, Monday night games?
Well, Thursday...
Seems, I understand it's the number one media market and all, but...
Thursday everybody gets, so I'm going to kind of discount that and just say that it's three. I think it's interesting. I think getting them on Monday night against the Niners is more about Jimmy Garoppolo than it is the Giants.
Right.
Dallas and the Giants Sunday night early in the season, that seems more tradition than anything.
Yep.
The one that I kind of am iffy with is why Atlanta at home Monday night. But other than that, I don't think it's too atypical.
What team do you think is going to be on the most Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night games?
Pittsburgh and Dallas. That's what I think.
I was going to say Dallas and Philadelphia, but I guess you can't have two from the same division, really, in something
you
like
could.
That.
You could. Philly's a good choice, too.
Yeah, you know, who is it strictly on the NFL? Do they decide, all right, we need to have them? Because I could see, well, you're like you said, every team has to be in a Monday night or Thursday night.
Every team has a Thursday night.
Yeah, every team has
just
a Thursday
for the balance,
night.
Yeah, because they all hate it.
Gabe says Giants will draft a defensive end.
Well, they need one of those,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I know, and they say if you have a good one, they're so hard to find that that's what you should go with. I'm not so sure about that. I go for the glitz and glamour before I go with something like that. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Big deal, little deal, no deal.
That's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back to the huddle. It's time for our newest feature.
Maybe this one will sweep the nation also.
It's time for Big Deal.
Rich, you guys are missing the point. This is a huge deal.
Little deal.
Oh, please, Arnie. This is nothing.
Or no deal.
You guys are both wrong. It's in the middle. How am I even still listening to you?
On 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. It's a Thursday, a spring Thursday, right?
Oh, it's lovely. I hear it's snowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I can't wait for May 1st. Just maybe. Oh, it's supposed to be 63 next week.
Maybe I'll go on remote to L.A. No, I am. I'm going to L.A. for next week, but I'll be doing the show from L.A., but that's going to be fun. I'll be out there in the sunshine.
Yeah, fun for you.
I'm going to get my, that's why I brought my new thong bathing suit. Going to go to the beach. I'm going to be taking pictures, Facebook Live.
Oh,
send that back to you guys so you see. So you'll enjoy that. I'm looking forward to
that. How about if you don't? How about if you just go to L.A.?
You don't be jealous. Don't be a hater.
Jealous.
Don't be a hater.
Jealous
Brady,
of Arnie in a thong.
Let's get the big deal, little deal, or no deal. Wow, he pressed that early, huh?
Question one, yeah. Gronk and Julian Edelman will work out with Tom Brady in Montana this July before training camp. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I think it's a big deal.
So do I.
I think it's a big deal. I think it shows that they're on the same page, that, you know, they got their heads together. Obviously, you're going to want to work out with them. I think it's good that Gronk is working. I don't think has he ever done that before?
It's always been Edelman and I think Amendola for the most part, hasn't
it? And I always like when the receivers and players get together, go to the quarterback's house and work out and stuff like that. I don't know how much it makes a difference in wins and losses, but on the surface, I think it's a good thing.
Or the quarterback's castle in this case.
Yes, exactly.
But no, I think it's a very big deal. I was thrilled to hear this as a Pats fan because the word Gronk, to me, that's huge. I mean, I am absolutely not convinced that he's just saying the hell with all of this and moving on.
No,
so it's no, but I mean, you want to be reassured as a Pats fan that he's definitely coming back. I doubt he's going out to work out with Tom Brady in Montana if he's not coming back to football.
Yeah, this is a clean sweep for me, too. This is a big deal. It shows that Brady's coming back. It shows that Gronk is coming back. It gets another person in the Montana crew. It gets Gronk out there instead of Amendola. He replaces him, who had been there the last few years. So, absolutely, it's a big deal. Not much more to say on that. Question two, big deal, little deal, no deal. Michael Bennett would read during meetings to ignore Pete Carroll in Seattle. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Is there something bigger than big deal? Like, humongous deal. Are you serious? I mean, you're going to show the ultimate disrespect like that by just reading in your job, right? This is, how much does he get paid? How many millions of dollars do you get paid to pay attention? All you have to do is pay attention to what the coach is telling you because you got a game coming up. I mean, who the hell does he think he is?
Okay, am I wrong, or has he kind of turned into a head case, or has he always been this way?
And I want to say this.
More turned.
If a player, if he did that disrespect to another player would punch him right in his face. I promise you that.
I doubt you'd win that fight, but anyway.
No, but another player, who knows? But, yeah, I think it's completely disrespectful. No, big deal on this.
I agree, and it's not good for Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll's one downfall, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Seattle fan, but it just seems like he's one of the boys. He's always been kind of known as the huggy, loving all of my players. This is my big family. These are like my kids. And he's always felt like a guy that could potentially be pushed around, and I don't think this helps him at all when you see this stuff.
It's a big deal, but I disagree with what you're saying. It's a big deal that Bennett would do this. I think Bennett just totally is taking advantage of Pete Carroll's personality. It's not because Pete Carroll is soft. It's because Pete Carroll has allowed his players the freedom to be themselves. And Pete Carroll, in a lot of ways, that has worked to his advantage, has worked to the Seahawks' advantage, and has worked to the players' advantage. And in this case, Bennett decided to just say, basically, I've heard everything there is to say. I don't need this anymore. And for an organization that supported him when he made what looked to be false accusations about the police, with an organization that supported him through his social stances and his support of Colin Kaepernick, the ultimate disrespect to a guy who stood up for you in all those situations, I think it's a huge deal. And as far as I can say as a Seahawks fan, thank you for the Super Bowl. Enjoy Philadelphia.
I was about to say, how many Super Bowls did he win?
We won one. So.
And it just goes to show you, maybe winning Super Bowls is not the best thing in the world. You know, some people are unhappy being on a Super Bowl team, kind of like what's-his-face said from Philadelphia about the Patriots. You know?
Lane Johnson.
Lane Johnson. Yeah. I thought that was crazy. Hey, maybe winning a Super Bowl doesn't make you happy. I don't know.
Question three. We talked about this in the last segment. We'll get to it again here. The Giants will open up their season with the Jaguars and the Cowboys. Is that schedule early on a big deal, little deal, or no deal?
No, I mean, it's a little deal. I mean, they got to play the Cowboys. Twice. That was going to go ahead and be a give me anyway. The fact that they opened up against Jacksonville at home, it doesn't really bother me one way or the other. If you're saying because it's a harder team, I mean, they have to play that conference or that division anyway. So I'll say little deal. It's two good games, but not a big thing overall.
Well, I'll tell you, if I'm the Giants, I'm not happy about this. I think it's a big deal. They're playing a last place schedule and they have to open with Jacksonville and the Cowboys. I mean, that's just screams 0-2 to me. And the last thing the Giants want to get into their heads is another 0-2 start after what they went through last year. I think
that's
this is a big deal.
It's a big deal to me also. Again, this is now three in a row that I thought have been a big deal. As much as I think Jacksonville regresses this year because I think the AFC South is going to be better in week one when they are presumably completely healthy and we haven't had any controversy about Blake Bortles not being good yet, I think the Jaguars come in there, and I think they play well. And then you go on the road, and you play a road game in the NFL. That's automatically tough, but a road game in the division at your rival. And remember that week one game with Jacksonville? That's Tom Coughlin returned to New York, and I think there's going to be some emotion around that too, and I think the fans are going to think that's a big deal. I think the fans are going to like that opening game to welcome Coughlin back.
Yeah, the last thing the Giants want after what they went through last year for the first half of the season is to start 0-2.
And yes, they got some bad breaks early on.
And that's bad for Eli Manning, and that's bad for Dave Gettleman, and it's bad for Pat Shurmur if they start 0-2.
And Beckham will start throwing things. Well, and, yeah, you cannot. That team cannot go 0-2.
Question four, big deal, little deal, no deal. The Giants released wide receiver Brandon Marshall today. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
Humongous deal. Just ordered my Dez Bryant New York Giants jersey. I'm sure it's going to be coming in the mail anytime soon, which that's the next logical step. At least that's what I'm putting in my pea brain, that now that Brandon Marshall's gone, that's it. Dez is coming aboard. Brandon Marshall never worked out anyway. It was a bad pickup. I thought it was going to be a good pickup. Yeah. I thought it was going to be the difference between going deep into the playoffs and not. But it shows you how wrong I was on that one. I just think it's a big deal because Dez Bryant next in line. Now, if they don't pick up Dez, it's a little deal. But I still think they do now.
I think it's a little deal just because we never really got to see the Brandon Marshall we were expecting in New York. I mean, what, did he play five games? I think he had 15 catches or whatever. And it was all the deep threat that he has been his whole career was non-existent. His yards per catch last year were like half of what he normally averages. I think it was 8 a game or something like that. He was just a completely different player. And, of course, I see him being Brandon Marshall coming out today, says, I've rebuilt my body. I'm two great years away from being a Hall of Famer. Come and get me.
I think it's a big deal, too. And, Arnie, I'm with you. I said on Monday I thought that the Giants should look at Dez Bryant. If he is willing to come for low money to prove he wants to play just to spite the Cowboys, then I'm 100% okay with the Giants going after it. 100% okay with that. Now, Dave Gettleman spoke today and said that he didn't close the door on Dez, but it didn't sound like it was something that he was really working on either, probably also because he's dealing with the draft right now. We'll know a lot more about the Giants' plans once the draft happens. Obviously, how many receivers they draft or how many they sign as undrafted free agents. I think it's a big deal because of just what we thought Brandon Marshall was going to bring to the table and we never saw it.
I just got to be on the record for this. I probably said it before. Giants cannot hold on to the number two pick if they don't take a quarterback. Too many teams want a quarterback, and they'll pay a king's ransom for it. You just can't. You just can't do it. So,
well, you better be right, Arnie. You've been hitting this one for a while.
I've been not predictions on games. I've been predicting like news stuff right lately. It's crazy. No, not like games, like scores, but like predictions on where people are going to fall and stuff. It's been crazy. Right.
Joe in Ticonderoga says, what contract do you give Dez 1 year, $5 million?
Let me give you the answer. He said 1 year, $5 million. This is what Dez is going to demand. Pretend you're Dez, and you're just getting off what you were supposed to be paid, $16 million. Work from that, okay? Because I'm Dez, and I'm not taking 1 year, $5 million. So stop with the games, people. All right? I know you want him at a discount, but you got to understand, all right? He's not going for minimum wage. I think to get Dez, if he even signs a one-year deal because he's going to get lowballed, could be a one-year 10 minimum. That's it. He's not going to get 8 to 10, but it's not going to get any lower than that.
But can we agree that was not in Dez's best interest to announce that he can't wait to beat up on his former team twice a year, because that immediately forces him to only three teams and he loses all his leverage?
Well, I don't think it forces him to three teams. I think he just prefers to be in one of those spots. I'm with Joe and Ticonderoga. Because of the Giants' limited cap space and because of all their other needs, I would offer him 1 year, $5 million. Now, if he doesn't take it, then go continue your career somewhere else.
Fair enough.
And that's fine with me. But if I'm going to get Dez, I'm going to get him in that 1 year, $5 million range. And you're going to prove to me it wasn't about money. It was all about spiting the Cowboys. Come and do that. If you want to do that, we'll do it together. But if not, then see you later.
But if you're going to make him an offer, that means you want him. And if you really want him, you don't want a 1 year, $5 million offer to get in the way when you could have given him a 1 year, $8 or $9 million offer for $4 million. You know, what are you? You're going to save some money there?
But you tie that into their schedule. They got the Cowboys in week number two. You got Dez Bryant playing like his hair's on fire, and they can avoid an 0-2 start. That's pretty attractive, one would think, especially for 1 year at $5 million.
By the way, Mojo Milton says, I feel sick saying this, but I finally agree something Arnie says regarding the Giants needing to trade that number two pick if they're not going to go for a quarterback. I really believe it.
Wow.
I agree with you, too. I said that earlier also.
You can't.
Question five, big deal, little deal, no deal. The Yankees put out an anti-bullying video for a 10-year-old Pennsylvania student who put out her own video about being bullied at her school. Big deal, little deal, no deal.
I saw this story. What bothered me is the school. Did I understand this right? The school had the nerve to say, well, you heard one side of the story?
I did not hear that.
I thought I heard that, which, look, I hate the bullying thing, and it's got to the point now. I know the Yankees can't do this, or any team can't do this. I wish the Yankees could go to the school and say, show me which kids are doing this. We'll talk to them. Somebody's got to talk to these kids. And if the parents aren't getting through, and the principals and the teachers aren't getting through, I would love for the Yankees or any team to say, let us not yell at them, but let us talk to the kids. That will stick. You know, if the Celtics went to a school here and said, we want to talk about bullying, that will stand in your head more than if it was just teachers.
As someone who literally wouldn't take the bus home in middle school because I was so terrified of a kid on the bus, so I would walk 5 miles one way. Wow. I mean, believe me, I lived that life. It's terrifying. And you look back on it now as an older person, and you go, how stupid that I even let that get to that point. But when you're 12 and 13 and 14,
it's your whole world.
It's your whole world.
Yeah, it is.
And so I'm good for the Yankees. I mean, obviously I'm going to say big deal. I say little deal, and I'm going to get, you know, everyone's going to hammer me for it. But I just cannot emphasize enough how important it is that people discuss this situation, because it's terrifying.
It's a big deal for sure, and it's good on the Yankees. For as unlikable as I think the Yankees are on the field, they do have some guys that are likable off of it. And Aaron Judge is likable, and Didi Gregorius is likable, and CC Sabathia is likable and relatable to a lot of people with things that he's gone through. All 25 people were involved in this video on the roster. Aaron Boone was involved in this roster. They invited the student to a game. They said that they could, you know, her whole thing was part of her video is that people wouldn't eat with her at lunch. She would go to a lunch table and everyone would get up and leave. They invited her to lunch in the clubhouse. It's good on the Yankees. I don't think it's just PR. I think the Yankees doing a nice thing,
absolutely,
it's a good thing.
By the way, I don't know if this will ever happen, but if it does, that shows you how fed up we are. Teams like the Yankees or whoever puts up those signs, you know, helping the bully, the little girl or a little boy getting bullied, they're going to get to the point where it's going to hold up names. Like, hey, Dave S., stop your BS. Or Cynthia H.
Right.
Stop. And it's going to get to the point we're going to start naming names.
And you can't tell me that's not going to have effect on that kid.
Oh, yeah. Effect on everybody. Yeah. We'll start naming parents. So there you go. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Clean up your act.
Next, as we finish off hour number one right here on 101.3 ESPN.
You probably...
Phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, welcome back as we finish off hour number one. Brady, we got to get to clean up your act, so let's go ahead and do we have music for clean up your act? I don't even know anymore. We've been doing the show a year and a half.
We have like cleaning, sweeping kind of
that's
music.
Right. Well, anyway, I'll start clean up your act. I want to start with the NFL to clean up their act. And Brady, tell everybody why I think the NFL needs to clean up their act.
The NFL has changed the start times of the primetime games. Monday Night Football is going to start 10 minutes earlier than last year, so, as is Sunday Night Football.
What's wrong with that?
Wait, Monday? Well, because this is like the third time in 4 years they've changed it. But wait, so they're going from 8:25 to 8:15 on the Monday night game.
I think it's 8:30 to 8:20.
8:30? I thought it was 8:25.
Well, let me.
See, you never know the times of the games,
man. No, I have
no
idea. Well, look at baseball now. The game's tonight.
Yeah. Monday night football, I'm sorry, is 8:30 to 8:15.
Okay, so it's 15 minutes.
Thursday night is 8:25 to 8:20, 5 minutes.
See, they should have given the 15 minutes there.
And Sunday night is 8:30 to 8:20.
It's
pretty insignificant.
No, but the times of the game, I mean, you know how many times we've changed the start of football times?
Right.
And that goes to the Sunday games, too, where the second games are now 15 minutes later.
Right.
In that one also. Look, this is the way it should be. There should be a lot more games on Sunday. The 10 o'clock games and then followed by 1:15. That's the way it should be. Get rid of the Thursday night and just keep the Sunday night. We have too many days and too many times. I can't keep it straight anymore.
I just miss fairly recently where every sporting event started at 7 p.m. That was it. Yeah. Everything's at 7.
Football's except on your West Coast, it's 4.
Football's at 1 and 4. Everything else is at 7. Clean up your act to some folks in Hamburg, Arkansas. Authorities in rural Arkansas are investigating the theft of more than $50,000 worth of equipment from a farm owned by Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, I was going to do that for last story standing. You stole it.
I've got a good last story standing. I've got a good last story standing.
Yeah, they stole two tractors from the farm in Hamburg, Arkansas. It's about 110 miles southeast of Little Rock. There's a $2,500. Pippen made that in 1 minute on the court. You'd think he could put up a little more than that.
No, he doesn't have a lot of money. He lost a lot.
Well, that's his fault.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, clean up your act, the Cincinnati Reds. They've fired their manager, Brian Price, 18 games into the season. Yes, they're struggling, but they're going through a massive rebuild, and they've had nearly their entire team injured, and the manager gets the boot 18 games in. Clean up your act.
Did you see the guy from Cold Takes?
Freezing Cold Takes
about the guy who covers the Reds?
No.
Who goes, I have sources, and my sources are always right, and they're not firing the manager till the end of the year, and I'll take away my Twitter account if I'm wrong. And there was a big fight on Twitter.
Man,
about
I wonder how Pete Rose feels about this. And poor Joey Votto. I mean, that's a great baseball city, a beautiful park, and they're already done this year.
Hour one in the books. We're cruising along. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. We'll get you ready for hour two next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon routine. People of planet Earth, we appreciate you. The Huddle is back right here on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, everybody, good afternoon. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're all here.
What was that?
All of a sudden, he had a British accent there.
I didn't sound as British. It sounded as like...
Did I have an accent on that one?
I don't even know what you sounded like.
I don't know.
I think he thought it was 4 o'clock and you're supposed to go, ah! So
it sounded like what I projected Seymour Spanier to sound like.
Yes. I don't know. I didn't hear it. I didn't think I said it. I thought maybe I said something wrong.
You were kind of like, afternoon, everybody.
Yeah, so like an old man? Is that what it is?
Time for the whatever the show is called.
Yes, exactly. By the way.
All on a count of four. Brady's hair. Rich's hair.
Can someone find my dentures, please? Can you find my dentures? We do talk all sports, especially when it's breaking. One thing that's finally come to an end, and I don't get much into cycling, but I do get into the whole Lance Armstrong situation.
Uh-huh.
The United States government, the federal government was suing him for, they wanted $100 million of his money. They've reached an agreement. Lance Armstrong has reached an agreement with the federal government in that whistleblower lawsuit. It could have been up to $100 million in damages. Lance Armstrong will have to pay $5 million. Instead of the $100 million that they were going for. So there you go. The deal was announced today. So it got off lucky. Let me tell you something. I've lost so much respect for that guy. Mm-hmm. And I know he did a lot for charity and, you know, cancer.
Live strong, yeah.
And that. So I'm a little torn between that. I know.
And he seemed like such a cool guy.
He did. Yeah. And the threats against other cyclists.
Yeah.
But then again, all the other cyclists did it too. So I don't know if I really should be mad at him or should just say thank you for bringing awareness to the Live Strong thing. I lost respect for him because of the cheating, but I don't know if I should be really hard on him.
He's hard to hate in a lot of ways.
He is hard to hate.
You're right. He's hard to hate. And remember, my buddy Floyd Landis, another one of the cyclists.
Your buddy?
No, I just.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Speaking of which, when am I getting you out on the rail trail for a nice 75-mile bike jaunt, Arnie?
Oh, every day. Anytime. You pick the day. Anytime.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm
ready. One of these weekends when it stops snowing, we'll head out there.
We'll race. So we'll go for a little race.
Race to Richford.
What did Dana Winooski write? I don't know if I understand that. They fired Red's manager?
That fired Red's manager was apparently on the 1988 Vermont Mariners.
There you go.
One and done
Mariners with Ken Griffey in center field.
I did not know that. That's good.
And Omar Vizquel at shortstop.
Stuart in Ferrisburg says, Giants not profiting from choosing Saquon Barkley. You're kidding, right?
No.
No, well, I think they could benefit from him. But you can't take a running back at number two when there's so many running backs. That's the first thing. You can't take a non-quarterback at number two when so many teams want that number two pick, where you can get three. You could get two number ones and a number two in return, maybe even a number three also in return for that number two pick overall. So it's nothing against Saquon Barkley. It's just where your position that you're going to have to make a trade. Too many people are going to want that. So
you can profit from Saquon Barkley, okay? People might fill the seats. You're going to sell a lot of jerseys. There's profit to be made there. But in terms of it being the best decision for your franchise, it's not.
Tyler in Essex says Rich was incorrect about the amount of catches Brandon Marshall had last season. It was 18, Rich, not 15. Come on now.
Tough crowd.
Yeah, so that's one of the mistakes of the day.
Win you a hat.
Yeah, that may. Maybe you got that one in there. So good for you. You got the mistake on that one. If you see other mistakes, just text it on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672.
And remember, that mistake of the day, we get a qualifier every day. And at the end of the week, we give out a 101.3 ESPN baseball cap to the best mistake of the day giver of the week. All thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, helping small businesses with screen printing, embroidery, and vehicle lettering to get it right the first time.
All right, what's going on now? You want to talk a little Red Sox? 15-2. Mookie Betts is just hitting the crap out of the ball.
Yes,
I mean, my
goodness.
Which I keep telling you guys, he won't be batting leadoff much longer. The fact that they're 15-2, he'll stay there. If they were 8-8, he would have been yanked from the leadoff spot to begin with.
He'll stay there, and then he'll go to the 3 spot like you want. He'll go 0-10, and that'll be the end of it.
That will be the end of it.
Well, I was reading Jen McCaffrey of The Athletic today, and she was saying that Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and Martinez went 4-for-5 yesterday. This has the potential to be the Red Sox's best 1-2 offensive punch since Ramirez and Ortiz back in the early and mid-2000s.
What?
That's what she said.
What? The best 1-2 punch since
Danny
then?
And Poppy.
Really? Am I missing something here?
You don't think that's possible with Betts hitting 390?
What's Martinez batting?
Martinez is up to 313. He had 4 hits last night.
And he got off to a slow start out there.
He sure did.
I didn't even know we were judging Martinez so quickly. I mean, if I would have jumped down his throat when he was batting, what, was it 210 or something like that?
Oh, yeah, he was off to a very slow start 15 games in.
I'm not ready to say that's like the great 1-2 punch there, Brady. I don't know.
I don't think of them as a 1-2 punch.
No, I don't either.
Mostly because they don't bat after each other.
Yes, exactly.
That's a huge thing. You've got one guy hitting first, another one hitting third or fourth.
Right, because they're not stacked. Like, if they were having success in New York, I would say that Stanton and Judge would be I'd look at them as a 1-2 punch. Yeah. I look at Robinson Cano and Nelson Cruz as a 1-2 punch. I look at...
Would you ever say first and second, like back in the days when the Mets would have like Lenny Dykstra and then have another short, fast guy like Chapman or something like that? They would be batting 1-2. That's like a 1-2 punch.
Plus, I mean, you look at that lineup. You got Betts hitting 390. Last night he had Ramirez after him was hitting 322. Martinez is 313. Moreland's hitting 355. Jeez. I mean, there's just no let up right now. It's like a 1-9 punch.
Well, the great thing about the Red Sox lineup right now is we hear this phrase a lot, lengthening the lineup. Teams will – if you're in high school, you have 1-5 that you're worried about. If you're in college, you worry about 1-9 in certain ways, but in terms of power, you only worry about 1-5 again. Good professional baseball teams have 1-9 that can beat you from any spot in the order, and right now that's what the Red Sox have, and that's what teams aspire to have.
If the Red Sox start losing, it'll be because of what? The pitching falls off the end of the don't injuries. I don't want to hear injuries.
No, if they start already have injuries.
Right, but if they start to lose with the people they have right now, it's because their pitching is going to go south.
I think it's because, and I can see this coming, Porcello will stop becoming Cy Young. I mean, I think Porcello is a key to all of this. Who saw him at 4-0 with an ERA of, let's see, 1.40?
Brady, you said he was going to come back.
He has one walk in four starts.
I thought Price was going to come back. I didn't so much think that Porcello was going to do this. If the Red Sox start to lose, that's a good question. If the Sox start to lose, it's going to be because Hanley has regressed. It's going to be because of offensive regression.
But one person isn't going to kill that. I mean, there's too many bats that are swinging well. To
Hanley's going to regress. Devers is going to start to get figured out and go through that sophomore slump. And I still think the bullpen would be an issue. If the Red Sox regress, the bullpen is going
to
be an issue.
I think, to me, the big thing is the 3, 4, 5 starters. What is Eduardo Rodriguez? I mean, he's had 2 starts, 1 terrible, 1 pretty good. He's going again tonight. Who's the 5th starter? Is Pomerantz coming back? I think Price is going to be fine as long as he's healthy. You've got Sale, you've got Price. I think the thing that could do this team in is the same thing I said a month ago before the season started, and that's the back end of that rotation.
By the way, Tom Fair Tire text line for the Red Sox fans, 802-655-6672. Brady, I don't think they have this out yet, but if you could maybe look tomorrow. I'm just curious, any spike in the television ratings for the Red Sox games because of the great start that they've had? I wouldn't think so because of the couple of late West Coast games. And
not to mention that Nesson has them on Nesson Plus, which nobody can find. I think it's Channel 84. Right. We're going to run into the same problem tonight.
Although
not really, because the Bruins play early.
This was a week ago, Arnie. So it's a week ago. The Red Sox were up 40% this season.
That'll work.
But that
that's insane.
That was through the first 9 games. We are now 17 games in.
Eight and one.
They were 8-1 at that point. Yeah, they were 40% up.
Wow. So I guess everybody's all bought into the Red Sox.
I mean, 15-2. Numbers speak for themselves. I'm watching 40%
is insane.
I'm staying up till 1 in the morning every night, and I got to be up at 4.
It's not like 40% when you're like a start-off, like some schlub team here that had a bad year last year that started off hot. You're talking Red Sox, who is probably going to get the same numbers just about every year. 40% is insane. That's crazy.
And it's also at the same time that your winter sports teams are both very embroiled in playoff series.
Absolutely.
One of the other things to note, we talk about the Red Sox, we talk about Betts and Martinez. They have already homered 22 times this season. They've homered 22 times this year. Last year, they didn't hit their 22nd home run until May 6th.
Yeah.
They've hit 9 in the last 2 games. Yeah.
They had 22 homers last year on May 6th. They've already got 22 homers now after April 18th.
But you're not telling me homers equate to winning, because last year they won too. They won the American League East 2 times in a row without the home runs.
I think the home run timing has been the key this year. I mean, 4 grand slams, and we're barely halfway through April.
By the way, I totally forgot about Anaheim changing the way their stadium layout is, because that ball by Devers yesterday, I'm like, why is everybody stopping? Well, it's because they altered it, so now they have a yellow home run line underneath that scoreboard. Before, that giant scoreboard was the wall, and you could play it off the wall like you would the Green Monster. So that played into the Red Sox advantage yesterday.
Chris, the Mets fan, gives us the obvious answer that we should have come up with. Sox start to lose because of the competition they will be playing from here on out. If they do lose, it's because of the harder competition, though. They just got done playing the Angels.
They've just outscored the best team in the American League record-wise coming into the series, and winners of, 7 or 8 in a row, 19-1 in their own park. Right. So I understand that. But you brought
that up yesterday, that the schedule was very easy.
Absolutely. But it is what it is. You play what's in front of you.
Well, we'll even out after 162. There's no doubt about that.
Are they going to win 100 games? Probably not. But, I mean, this start certainly lends me to think they might win 95.
I got to say this real quick. There was nationally on radio, people were talking about the Rizzo comments about the 162 games. And he was getting not backlash, getting like support. Like, we got to do something about 162 games, way too much for players and the public. He was getting big backlash on that.
Yeah, not too much for the public, but I would say too much for the players.
I didn't think even the public didn't want to see
that. Well, I mean, you've seen the attendances, and 90% of the reason the attendance is so far down is because, A, you've got 5 or 6 teams that are already almost mathematically eliminated.
That's crazy.
Playing
That's
a lot
so
of
bad.
Home games. And, B, you're playing a ton of games in 30 degrees and rain and snow mixing.
What do they have now? The Red Sox, Angels, one more time. And then on to Oakland, probably the worst franchise in all of baseball.
The Marlins.
Did you see their game last night?
Yeah, the Marlins.
the Oakland game.
12-11-14.
I never thought it was going to end. I watched a little of it.
Did you watch any of Cleveland and the Twins last night? 16 innings, 2-1.
They are trying to sell baseball as if they have to. Not really sell it, but they're out there, you know, promoting the game, and they go 148 innings of scoreless baseball before somebody finally won.
But what a show. The Puerto Rico series got exactly what it wanted, the two games between the Indians and the Twins. Francisco Lindor, a Puerto Rico native, homers in the first game. In the second game, Jose Berríos goes 7 scoreless innings for the Twins. He's a Puerto Rico yep. native. And then the winning run is scored by Eddie Rosario, who's a Puerto Rico right. native. So the hometown crowd there got what they wanted.
With backup electricity running in the park.
Didn't say how it was. Full.
Packed. Great crowd.
I don't know what small place.
Oh, so it is, 20,000?
I don't know. Let me check.
Yeah, because I didn't know. 20, 30, 40. I didn't know how many people were going to be at that game.
Yeah, it was not a big park.
18,000.
Yeah, okay. It's a pretty small place.
But at least they were into it. You know, that's always good to see.
In Puerto Rico, that's it's like giving candy to kids. I mean, there's not much to it. They love their baseball down there.
All right, Brady, let's get to Gettleman because Giants and the draft, and the draft is a week?
Week from today.
That is unbelievable. Finally. It seems like it's forever that it's taken to get around here.
I know. My head is just warped right now with all these quarterback rumors. I'm just so tired of hearing about, are the Patriots going to move up for Rosen? How about Mayfield? What do we think about their second round picks? I'm so tired of that. I'm just ready for the draft. Give me the draft today.
Real quick, just one thing. Steven, South Burlington. Red Sox are 15-2, and Larry Moe and Curley are talking about how the Sox will start losing. Only a sock would be so pessimistic. That's from... Mr. Z or something like that.
Now, which one am – now, you definitely
I brought it up. Yeah, well.
Isn't Curly the fat, bald one?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
The fat, bald, good-looking one, though.
Oh, of course.
Okay, yes, absolutely.
I guess I'd be the – I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be Mo.
Yeah. Mo was always nasty, though. I didn't like Mo.
No, okay. Well, that would be you. Nasty. You're all three.
Yeah. Giants and the draft, because obviously not only that, but it starts with Cleveland with number one and number four. And nobody's talking about what the Jets are doing, too. What's going to go on there? That's a big part of what happens in the rest of the way, especially that they traded up because, you know, they want a quarterback. They want that big-name quarterback, Brady. That's what they're waiting for.
Baker Mayfield feels like way too much of just a perfect marriage for the Jets, I think.
Doesn't it?
I think having Baker Mayfield in New York would be a colossal mistake, but Joe Namath was there. Mark Sanchez was Cali Cool in there. Baker Mayfield feels like a big-city guy. And the Jets feel like someone who feel like a team that needs attention, especially to outpace the Giants. Baker Mayfield to the Jets feels like it's almost inevitable.
All right, here's where I'll criticize myself. If I am wrong, and Darnold and Rosen do not go 1-2, and that's possible. I mean, geez, it's the draft. Anything could happen. Can you imagine the Jets at number 3 just licking their chops, finding out that one of those guys are going to fall to them? I heard today that Darnold was going to fall number 2 to the Giants, and the Giants couldn't possibly pass up on somebody like that. And because Josh Allen was going to go number 1 all of a sudden. My head's spinning. I don't know how Josh Allen can go number 1. I'm going to be shocked. Believe you, we'll have plenty to talk about after the draft, but some of these rumors are crazy out there.
One more week, boys.
Yeah.
We're almost there.
You hate the draft.
I absolutely despise everything about it. Yep.
I like the draft. It's just that there's so many rumors because one day I'm saying, oh, I think this is going to happen, and we find the story that it's not, and you're like, oh, you're wrong. I'm like, well, are they lying? Is it false information? Yep. This is the only time of year where people actually are allowed to lie and give out bogus information.
Let me retract. That's a little strong. I like draft day. I just don't like the 2 months of throwing bleep against the wall, people just standing there guessing.
I hate bracket.
And it never happens the way they say it's going to.
I hate bracketology in November. That's what I hate.
Well, and I also hate the
same
guys.
Thing. Yeah.
I hate the draft experts like Mel Kiper.
And they're always wrong.
They were picking.
Mel's our friend who's on the show, so let's be nice to Mel.
I do, but you know, he said he was going to quit his job if Barkley didn't become a big-time quarterback in 8 years.
Matt Barkley.
Yes, how'd that work out?
Yeah,
that was Jimmy Clausen.
Okay, so Clausen.
He had a much better
run.
Yeah,
shouldn't you quit now? I don't know. It's some of these predictions, and they're so far off, it's not even funny. It's tremendously off.
Look, next week I look forward to the whole week of talking leading up to the draft because it's the week of the event. But when you start talking about it a week after the Super Bowl ends is what drives me crazy about it.
Patriots, are they going 0-16? You got the schedule coming out. We're going to release it next. Patriots schedule coming out next. What are they going to be? 1-15?
Horrible.
2-14?
Oh, they're doomed.
16-0?
There you go.
We'll tell you. We'll go through the whole schedule. You tell us what you think they're going to be. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. All right. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We're going to go through the Patriots schedule in just a moment. I see all this stuff coming in the Town Fair Tire text line. I got to get to some important business, though. Boss just came in. Unfortunately, not good news.
What?
Rich.
What?
And I'm just going to go ahead and read it the
is
way.
Is it a memo?
No, it's actually, and I do apologize, Abba Haskell. Abba Haskell.
Abba Haskell?
Yes.
Are they named after a Swedish musical band?
No, actually, that was your great uncle has passed away in London.
Abba Haskell?
I'm being serious. I'm reading it. He passed away in London. He was your great uncle. He died in a car accident in London. The reason I'm reading you this is the attorney has contacted us, and this says, Dear Rich Haskell, it's right here. My name is Tony Rowland. I'm a senior partner of Tony Rowland and Partners.
Uh-oh.
Your late uncle or great uncle has passed away. He got in a car accident.
Yeah.
It says here that he had an unclaimed life insurance policy of $10,950,000.
Well, that'll look my $1.40.
Let me read $10,950,777 with Top Life Insurance Company in the UK. So,
cool,
Rich,
I quit.
They would like you to, and would you please get this and collect your money, please?
There you go.
All right.
And there's a phone number there for you to collect your money. And they would like to give you your $10
million. Okay.
See, it says Dear Rich Haskell on
it.
It
does say, and it doesn't look at all like somebody superimposed my name into that
blank. That's I'm being serious.
Well, that's awesome.
That came over, but they're probably going to ask you for like $5,000 to collect your $10 million because it's going to be a scam.
No, there's no such thing as a scam. I'd be happy to send them the entire contents of my account balance.
Brady, we should call that number up on the air one day. Or at least call him up and say, yeah, we're here to collect our 10 mil. Can somebody help us collect the 10 million for Rich?
Who names their kid Abba? Probably obsessed with the Swedish
band.
You
going to make fun of your great uncle that just left you $10 million? What the hell's wrong with you?
Well, I'm going to get right on this.
Is there any attorneys out there listening that can help us collect the 10 million?
We're skipping the Patriots schedule to talk about this.
All right. I wanted to get that in there. Okay.
It's 10 million bucks.
It is 10 million bucks.
Is it Monopoly money?
I'm just going to buy the Patriots.
By the way, Alex in Moncton said Arnie hates Kuiper. He wants to be the only one that gets picks wrong. Maybe the two of you should wash cars together. So that is from Alex and Moncton. Brady, go through the Patriots schedule. What's going on?
Game one at home. The Patriots will take on the Texans. Game two at Jacksonville. Game three at Detroit. It's a Sunday night game. Bill Belichick against Matt Patricia. Game four, home against the Dolphins. Game five, Thursday night against the Colts. Game six, Sunday night, home against Kansas City. Game 7 at Chicago, Game 8 at Buffalo, Monday Night Football, Game 9 Sunday Night Football, home against Green Bay, Game 10 at Tennessee, Week 11 the bye, Week 12 at the Jets, Week 13 home against the Vikings, Week 14 at Dolphins, Week 15 at Steelers, Week 16 home Buffalo, Week 17 home Jets.
I know on the surface it looks like it's an easy schedule.
It is. It's the 22nd easiest schedule in the league.
Yeah, it looks on until the games start getting played.
I guess that would make it the 8th easiest schedule in the league.
Yeah, based on one loss from the year before.
Because they have to play 6 games against the AFC East.
If it's so easy, though, I have to have the Patriots go 4-2 in their last 6 just to finish up at 9-7.
keep going. Do tell.
They will beat the Texans, but I think that they lose the 2 games on the road to the Jaguars and the Lions.
And the Lions.
And remember, the Dolphins beat them every year, but I gave them a win against the Dolphins and the Colts, but they'll lose games against like the Chiefs and at Chicago.
At
home. I even gave you wins against Chicago and the Packers. So, you know, you think it's that easy, but you're going to lose to the Titans on the road at Dolphins and on the road at Pittsburgh or losses, and I still gave you wins in 4 of the last 6. That's why I have you going 9-7. I don't know, is 9-7 insulting for the Patriots?
You never learn. You never learn.
And you tell us on the Top Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. What do you have? How many would you have them going?
All right. Well, let's look at it. I think they'll probably lose to Jacksonville. Jacksonville was as tough a game as they had all last year in the AFC Championship. Wouldn't surprise me if they lose that game. At Lions, heading back to Matt Patricia, he'll be pretty fired up. Probably have some schemes ready.
Yep.
But are they going to lose at Detroit?
Of course they are, yeah.
Of course they are.
Yes.
Okay. And then they've got Dolphins, Colts, Chiefs at home. You're telling me they're going to lose to Miami or Indy at home?
No, I actually gave them two wins. I'm losing to the Chiefs.
All right, the Chiefs, they seem to not match up with, Will, home or away. We certainly have found that. At Chicago Bears, you think they're going to lose that game?
No, I don't have a loss there either.
All right, how about at Bills? That's a chance.
Yes, I do have a loss.
Oh, it's going to be fun on Monday Night Football. Home against the Packers, really?
That's a win.
Okay.
I'm and then the other, with the other losses is Titans, Dolphins, and Pittsburgh.
So you think they're going to go to Nashville and lose in Week 10? See, there's where we disagree. Yes. I knew we'd find one eventually.
That would be the difference between 9-7 and 10-6, Brady.
All right, my take on the schedule is threefold right now. One, the early part of the schedule, the first 5 weeks, I think are fair to them. I think they are fair. I think they're going to beat Houston at home. I think they're going to beat Detroit on the road. I think they'll beat Miami, and the Colts is a gift right there. Thursday Night Football in Week 5.
So
I think,
4-1 and 5.
Yeah, I think they start out very good. I think they can beat Jacksonville. Now, they might lose to Jacksonville on the road, but I still think Jacksonville is a regression candidate throughout the year as a whole. But the things that I find interesting, that in a 7-week span, they have 5 primetime games. They've got Sunday night at Lions, Thursday against the Colts, Sunday with the Chiefs, Monday with the Bills, and Sunday with the Packers. So 5 primetime games in a 7-week span. And the thing that's most difficult about this schedule is in an 8-game span, they've got 6 road games.
Yep.
At Chicago, at Buffalo, then home, at Tennessee, then the bye, then at the Jets, home for the Vikings, and then at Miami and at Pittsburgh. 6 games in an 8-game stretch are on the road.
Real quick, when's week 15? Do you know December?
Is that
it's a little before Christmas.
Okay, yeah. So I was just thinking of this. If let's say the Patriots do have a great run, they may not have to go on the road. Well, they don't have to go on the road till after Pittsburgh's game. Could be the last game. They have the game home games in week 16 and then 17. And if they have home field advantage in the playoffs, they won't have to go on the road after Christmas or something.
And there's no bad weather games other than probably Pittsburgh in week 15.
That's another good point. Maybe the Jets. Maybe.
That's November.
Yeah.
Play the Bills early. They play at Soldier Field. That's early. The Lions, of course, is indoors. They got Jacksonville on the road. Weather-wise, that's a very good schedule. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dolphins, Steelers, Bills, Jets, last 4 games, isn't that exactly the same 4 teams in a different order they finished this year with?
Well, the Dolphins were the second to last game, so I'm not – wasn't that –
I think they finished in different order with Dolphins, Steelers, Bills, Jets.
Possible.
I think they did because they finished at the end of the season with 2 home games. So I'll have to check. But anyway, that's strange. That schedule looks a lot like last year. They have a couple of tough road games, then they play 3 in a row at home, and then, as Brady said, they play a long streak of away games in the middle of the season, and that's exactly what happened this year,
Brady,
including a trip to Mexico City.
That is the exact same end-of-the-season schedule as last year.
Oh, it is? Yeah. Well, I thought the Dolphins were the second to last game.
No, Buffalo was.
Oh, Buffalo was.
So last year they were at Miami week 14. That's the same. Last year they were at Pittsburgh week 15. That's the same. Then they were home against Buffalo week 16. That's the same. And then they were home against – I don't understand that.
It happened last year. They didn't have to go on the road after the 15th week. They were home the whole time.
The exact same schedule from weeks 14 through 17.
How many wins did you have them going then?
I don't predict that stuff until I see the draft.
Well, I mean, you obviously have more than 9 because
– Okay, if I'm doing this now, I think they beat Houston. I think they beat Jacksonville. I think they beat – they're starting out 5-0 in my book. Lose at Kansas City.
They're home against Kansas City. They lose
They'll lose against Kansas City.
Yeah.
Wow. They'll beat the Bears. I'll give them a loss to the Bills, so now I got them at 5-2.
Yeah.
I think they'll lose to Green Bay. That's 5-3. I think they'll beat Green Bay.
Okay.
At
that's
home.
6-2. They'll lose to Tennessee. That's 6-3. They'll beat the Jets, 7-3. They'll lose to Minnesota, 7-4.
At home?
Yep. They'll beat Miami 8-4, beat Pittsburgh 9-4. They'll beat the Bills. They'll beat the Jets. They'll
12-4. You even had to give him an extra loss. You even had him at 13-3 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean that Vikings game should be fun. I'm not sure where to go with that one. And as I said, the home game against the Chiefs, you can't count on them winning that game. Just like you can't count on them winning at Miami.
But I don't predict this stuff until the draft.
Right.
So Well, I don't make much sense of what I just said. Like, I don't put too much stock in that. I need to
why
see.
Why after the draft? Just to see if they fill up their holes and all
I
that?
I need to see what other teams look like. I need to see what they look like. And then I need to see training camp, who's healthy, who's not. So I don't get much into predictions until we get closer to training camp. But on the surface here, this bears out what I would say. The Patriots have the eighth easiest schedule in the league.
All right. I didn't even think of this, but a couple of texts that come in. Lampy says, Arnie, you're out of your gorge. 9-6 gorge, whatever the hell it is.
What? Gorg. Jumping a gorge? What?
9-6, ha ha ha, you're wild, love you, but you're nuts. I said 9-7, it's a 16 scheduled season there.
Yeah, they're going to lose 7 games.
Chris the Met fan, holy cow, think about this. Patriots could run the table till they go to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And they then, could, and they then could, the refs they, will save them again.
All right. Remember we talked about them going undefeated last
You've
year?
You've got them. No, don't say that. You've got them going 9-7.
Didn't we have them? Didn't we say that they could go ahead and weren't we talking about being like undefeated before the start of last year or something like that?
Yep. Until the season started and they got their butts kicked.
Alex in Moncton, does the Brandon Marshall release make room for Dez or an unrelated move? Yes, 100%. Dez, I really believe Dez is going to go ahead and join the Giants. Zach from Bristol, don't sleep on my Packers, boys. That's a home loss.
Yeah, I mean, they've got that NFC North, you know, Packers, Vikings. Those are both home games, and I'm glad.
You know, it's a good year to get tough. The NFC North. It's not that tough. It doesn't seem like that tough of a...
Yes, it is.
The NFC North?
The Vikings went to the NFC title game last year.
But I think they're taking a step backwards. I think Green Bay isn't going to be as tough, and they didn't even... You know, at the end of the year, they faltered. I don't think that...
Are the Lions better? With Patricia? That's a tough one.
I don't know.
I think at Jags, at Detroit's a tough back-to-back.
I don't know. I think they got the right year to play that conference or that the division.
12-4. Ho-hum.
Vince goes, Pats with an easy schedule. Shocker.
Yeah. Every year. When you told me it was the eighth easiest schedule, I'm like, well, shocker. Gee, I would never have betted on that, Brady. How would I figure that out?
Before we break, did you see this great note that I have underneath the Pat schedule?
No.
Evil Empire Weekend?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Pawtucket Red Sox are hosting Evil Empire Weekend in Pawtucket, so that's the Red Sox AAA affiliate, May 5th and 6th. Any fans named Joe or Kelly will be admitted for free to the weekend, and any fans being identified as Tyler or Austin will be banned from the premises.
I love it.
So
I love it.
There's your AAA. There's your AAA rivalry renewed.
I saw the Joe Kelly Fight Club T-shirts. Did you see those? That was good. Adam in Ferrisburg has a good question. No Super Bowl rematch? I thought they'd do that every year, Brady. That was supposed to be the it's supposed to be the
It is not always a Super Bowl rematch.
Okay.
It was a Super Bowl rematch a few years ago when Denver and Carolina opened, but last year it wasn't New England and Atlanta. It was New England and Kansas City.
Right.
When Seattle won it, they opened up against Green Bay, I believe.
So the team that wins it always...
The team that wins the Super Bowl gets the Thursday night opener.
Okay.
So but that, it is not always against the team that they beat in the Super Bowl.
Okay, but he said no rematch at all.
Yeah, like,
I'm
a little surprised at that. I mean, you get six games against your division. You get four games against, in their case, the NFC North. Everyone in the AFC East plays NFC North.
10.
So there's 10 games. So there's six games.
They get another division.
Yeah, then they get the AFC division. Yeah. This year it's the AFC South.
So that's 14. Okay, and what do they do with the other
two? So there's two games left for the NFL to decide.
The two games left are other first place teams.
Yes.
So Pittsburgh is the one.
Oh, who is the other one? Jags?
No, because that's Pittsburgh is the one, and
you got to take it.
Kansas City is the other one.
Okay. Wow,
yep.
So you get the you get the two first place teams in your conference remaining,
and that's why everybody looks at these and says that's not a first place schedule. The problem for the NFL is it's a first place schedule, but only two games are separating them from a last-place schedule.
Yeah, how do you have the eighth easiest schedule when you're supposed to have a first-place schedule? JT in Burlington says it's always an easy schedule when you don't have to play the Patriots.
That's a good
yourself
point.
There. So, yeah, these are by, when we talk about the easiest schedule, it goes by records won and loss from last year, which very rarely do they, you know, end up 2 years in a row with the same one-loss schedule.
Look at last year. You would have thought, oh, I'm playing the Giants. I'm playing the team that went to the playoffs, and then you end up playing an awful team.
Flat on your face. So, yeah, that's no doubt about that. But, 9-7. And that's not really much of an insult.
You're a funny guy.
I don't know why that's insulting. You know, that we talked about all the holes that the Patriots had, and we talked about the guys that they were missing, and, you know, what are they going to do with wide receiver? Maybe they're going to get another one there. We talked about some of the holes they were missing out there when people left Brady, and it's not going to be that easy for them this year.
Well, there's definitely some things to do, and we're going to see how good a coach, you know, another good coaching job from Bill Belichick, and we're going to be wondering, can he and Tom Brady get along?
And more important, are the Bills going to be better now that they'll get themselves a quarterback? Are the Dobbins going to be better when they get Tannehill back? So, you know.
Who's winning the division, Arnie?
Hopefully the Dolphins.
There you go.
Hopefully the Dolphins.
The undefeated,
that's for sure.
Dolphins.
Oh, we can only hope from your lips to God's ears. Brady, what's coming up next?
We'll get you ready for Bruins Maple Leafs game 4.
Yeah, that's tonight. Oh, that's coming up next right here on 101.3.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady. By the way, Brady, you grow a beard pretty easily, don't you?
Yeah.
Men who grow beards easily and earlier in life are more likely to go bald. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thank you.
Well, that's to compensate for the top of their head. They grow it all at the bottom of their head.
I had a text where, geez, I don't know how far back I have to go, but it says here, they were talking about it. Says,
Nick B. in Plattsburgh.
I read it because I can't find it. I don't know where it is.
Nick
here.
In Plattsburgh, the draft is awesome. Me and the boys were flying down to Dallas just to go to it. We make it a thing every year we go.
That, you know, that's fun. That's just a fun time to get together with the guys and go to something like that. I never considered or thought about going to an NBA draft, NFL draft, or anything like that. I think it would be fun, though, wouldn't it?
I've been invited to many NFL draft parties because I'm,
though,
every
yeah.
year for how many years I sit here and just hammer it. It's not the draft again. It's the hype. It's 2 months of having to listen to speculation. Yeah. Draft day is fun.
Brady, I could see you doing you would go to the baseball All-Star game in a heartbeat or the home run.
Oh, yeah, the home run derby, yeah.
Yeah, that I would do something like that also. But, I would do the draft. I think that maybe wouldn't be too bad out there. All right, Brady, we got the Bruins and Leafs game 4.
Pivotal.
Pivotal because the Bruins know that they can't come out flat like they did in the first period in game 3. Yeah,
not against that offense.
And you don't want to go ahead and get this thing tied up at 2 apiece, worrying about a game 5. You want to take command of this again. Pivotal game. Humongous game. Bruins know that there's going to be a little pressure on them, too. Crowd will be into it. This is kind of like a must-win for the Bruins also if they want to go ahead and finish them off.
It's not a must-win for
if
the Bruins.
If they want to finish them off.
Yeah, it's as much if they want to finish them off early. It's not a must-win. It is a must-win for the Maple Leafs as they need to continue to try to capitalize on being home and keep the series going at an even track. They always say the series doesn't start until a road team wins a game. Right. So if the Maple Leafs can hold serve, then they're exactly where they should want to be also.
And, you know, The first goal, I know it's an overused cliche, but tonight I think it really matters. And look, the first goal, you sit there and say, that's a biggie. The final could be 6-4 between these two teams. I understand that. But I look at this game and just say, don't come out flat, but just be what you were for most of that game the other night, if you're the Bruins. I mean, they put 42 shots on Anderson. They hit about 3 or 4 posts. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Even though they had 42 shots, I felt that the Leafs still played better defense than they did in the first 2 games, but they did give up 42 shots, which is alarming. But I thought their defense was a little bit better, so I don't know if I'm being a hypocrite or what, but it wasn't as good. The first 2 games was disgusting on their defense. It was horrible.
Well, and the penalty situation
they gave up 3 power play goals in like 6 shots or something like
yes,
that. It was crazy.
They had the Bruins had 5 power play goals in the first 2 games.
Jeez.
Another thing is I was doing more and more research. I think there's 2 real keys to this game. One, does the coaching adjustment that Mike Babcock made in game 3, does it pay off again? Does he put Tomas Plekanec back on line 2 again, have him be the center of line 2, and can that line shut down the Bruins' top line? Because it was very interesting. Now, I know Plekanec is older than he was in Montreal, obviously. Now he's 35 years old. But Brad Marchand only has 2 goals on him in 5 years. Mm. Brad Marchand has 2 goals on a Tomas Plekanec line in 5 years.
And you have to keep in mind, that's in a lot of games.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
You know, they play the Canadiens a lot. I think they play them 5-6 times a year, if not more. So.
Yeah, but is that the key, though, just stopping Marchand? Because even with that, the Bruins have looked good.
Yeah, that's not the key, but if you can at least disrupt him out of the line, then that matters. And the other one I think that I did a lot of research on is that the Maple Leafs like to play fast. We have known that. They have good skaters, but just how fast do they like to play? They like to just break out quickly in transition. They like to go tape to tape. They like to go straight from the D line or straight from the blue line all the way up to the offensive side of the zone. Can the Bruins stop that transition game?
And if there's two teams you want to keep away from the penalty box and give the other side a power play, it's Toronto and Boston. Because all you're doing is just making life easy for that top line. They've had it easy for the entire series, although certainly not in Game 3, but you've got to stay out of the penalty box in both teams' cases.
So even if the Bruins lose tonight, you're still confident they'll win the series? And because I said it's kind of like a must-win if you want to finish them off. You're like, no, they could lose this game and still win. It's no problem.
They'd play it be best 2 out of 3 with 2 of them at home.
Yes.
So, I mean, basically, by losing tonight, they would be making life difficult for themselves. Right. That's about all.
Yes, I think they can still win the series, but if you're talking about getting rest for the next round, able to get a little healthier, then that's where you have the problem.
Right, and that's huge because they're playing every other night.
By the way, the Bruins, I think, are like the fourth favorite to win the Stanley Cup, which is amazing compared to the way some of the other teams are playing.
Did you see Vegas? I think they're now 6-1 or 9-1. What was it? I can't even believe it. And, of course, San Jose just finished off Anaheim in the snap of a finger, too.
You know what Vegas did when you're in Vegas betting? They gave you a free $5 to $25 free bet on the Golden Knights. To win the Stanley Cup. No. To win the Stanley Cup,
you know what?
They gave it to people.
After what they did to L.A., and that's a pretty good team with a lot of Stanley Cup experience, I now am a believer. I would have said, I almost blurted out before that series, if we'd ever had a Stanley Cup prediction show, I would have said the Kings might have swept that series.
Let me ask you, we're in the area, obviously we got Bruins and Canadians, but with the Canadians not good. With the Rangers, not good. With the Devils, not good.
Well,
with
the Devils are in the playoffs. The
Islanders, not good. I shouldn't say that.
Correct.
Islanders, not good.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of, you know, hockey umph going on right now or in the Northeast, or not really because
there's
of all those teams?
Flyers fans up here, too.
Oh,
there's
I forgot about
Flyers.
The Penguins.
Flyers have done
but
real well.
But the Penguins, yeah, the Flyers, they choked it away last night. So, yeah, the sad part is if Boston continues to win and move on, and Pittsburgh looks like they're going to win their series, I think the Bruins will end up with the Penguins in the next round, which is the last thing I want in the playoffs.
Unbelievable. How great would that be? Drive out for a game there, Rich. You love road trips.
All right. Yeah. All right. Give me a couple days off live from, I guess it's not the Igloo anymore, whatever the place is called in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. You would have a blast.
Sure.
Do it.
I'll drive down there.
10-hour drivers.
I went through there a couple years ago. It's a great city.
I would love that, man. If you could see them play at one place on the road, where would you go?
Who, the Bruins?
Yeah.
Vegas?
Yeah, I guess it would be Vegas. Somewhere warm and relevant.
Everybody wants to go to Vegas. Who doesn't want to go to Vegas?
Nashville. They have the best fans right now.
What the heck does Chris write? I can't read it.
He's typing it. How can you not read it?
Chris is saying the reason why the teams don't always open up with the Super Bowl rematch, it only ever works that way if it just happens to be the division that they're playing that year.
Gotcha.
So they don't plan it that way. They do it so based on the division that you're playing.
I would love to see the way the NFL types into the computer and have it spit up, because they spit up many different versions.
There's like over 30,000.
And then
something.
What the NFL agrees on it, they say, okay, this is the one we want, or how do they decide which one do they want out of all the variations?
I don't know. The baseball one is the one that has the 30,000 simulations.
Right. I don't know how they decide which is the one they want to go with. I'm not sure of that, but that's absolutely crazy. I'm sure it's got to be a lot of fun deciding that. All right, the great last story standing, that's coming up next, but we'll quick show today before we finish things up right here.
Higher.
It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, let's get a qualifier for the mistake of the day. Who's it going to go to?
Tyler in Essex.
Who corrected Rich when Rich said that Brandon Marshall had 15 catches. It was 18, Rich.
Oh, you're giving 18. It to that guy?
Yes, we're giving it to that guy. Wow. How about that? He qualifies for the mistake of the day, Brady.
Yes, he does, and that's thanks to Embroidery Works at Joann's Uniforms in Colchester, specializing in vehicle lettering and perfect screen printing to get it right the first time as well. You get that baseball cap courtesy of them if you are the mistake of the day winner at the end of the week.
All right, let's get the last story standing. What'd you have there?
Last story standing brings me back to Seinfeld. Remember at the end of probably season 8 or so, season 9, David Putty, Elaine's on-again, off-again boyfriend,
yes.
She found out that he was a face painter at the Devils-Rangers game in the playoffs? Well, He showed up at the Devils playoff game yesterday with his face painted, just like in Seinfeld. And here's the iconic clip again.
So how long have you been a Devils fan?
Since I was a kid. I'm from Jersey.
Yeah? Well, we're going to kick your butts tonight.
Ain't no way, man.
Yes.
We're primed.
All right, you almost ready? Because Jerry and Kramer are going to be here any second. What the?
So what do you think?
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
I like that. And that's what he did. He painted his face.
He painted his face and showed up yesterday.
It didn't work, as it turns out.
Before we wrap things up, thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends. Obviously, the passing of Erin Popovich, 67 years old, the wife of Greg Popovich. I mean, I can only imagine what he's going through. She's battled a long illness, passing away yesterday at the age of 67. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family and friends and Greg Popovich. So we wanted to get that in. All right, who are we going to thank today, Brady?
Intern Nathan and intern Alec.
Intern Alec, intern Nathan. We had help there. Thanks to Brady. Thanks to Rich. Thanks to me for carrying the show. Champlain Valley game night coming up next with Brady right here on 101.3 ESPN.